to find words. At times there's no vocabulary that exists over there that surpasses the words the English language created because we lived in a certain place. But sometimes what I feel and I see when my need was met, per se, should I say, when His provision became part of me. Do you want to know what it felt like? Felt like I discovered gold. And right now, in the transition, I'm filing the claim. What did you find it to consist of? Not in my wildest dream did I realize that how much the way we treated people affected the outcome of our provision. He said it in things like this. You want to mention the mountain? I love the ability to be able to stand there and say to the mountain, be removed. I didn't bother reading the rest of the verse very much. Didn't like the other part too good. I liked the excitement of the mountain and the glory of mountain moving. But he says, while you stand praying, right in the prayer, He stops and says, look, you got aught. Just leave your prayer right now and go fix it. And come back and finish. We talk about our offerings. The only thing I got in my pocket right now is these things that taste good, keep your mouth moist somehow. He brings the supply and I get all of them from him. Then I offer him one once in a while. Be my guest. He says, you bring your gift to the altar. He says, look. Put it back in your pocket. You got aught against somebody? Go on, make it right. And then come and offer your gift. Well, I could see that in my giving and things. But I never dreamed how it affected the overall outcome, the way we treated people. Because when you were really mean and lost, and that was the condition we were all in when He died for us. We wasn't saved. When He died, you was not saved. And I wasn't either. So He paid that price for you when you were at your worst. All the people that are not saved, they're the lost members of our family. And He would appreciate it if He could use us to go after them. And I can imagine if I was God and I'm one of my sons, would say, do you want me to go win our lost brothers and sisters of the family? Yes, I do. If I give you $1,000, will you promise me $100,000 in return if I, give you $1,000 to go after them? But would you give me $100,000 back? Would you do that? I now give you $1,000 to go get them saved. So you make sure you give me that $100,000. I had a son like that. I don't think so. Well, he keeps yelling about what brought this change in me. This is tangible. He keeps yelling about it, you know, the walls going down, the water shooting through, and praising God and worship. He just won't stop, will he? Like, I got some news for you, he probably never will. He's not going to stop. You know, if I had a son like that, I had to pay him a small fortune every time he helps get somebody saved. I don't think I'd want him on board. I would want one whose heart was for the lost. What did he say in Ephesians 5? The book of Ephesians that belongs to the prayer center. You wait till you see. Go to the website, whatever that is, and find out about Ephesians. But I love the 5th chapter because he said, don't be drunk on wine where it's excess, because if you find out what's happening to him and her and me, I've run out on the path for a ways and I run into this. And I don't know. I'm not getting a clearance to come back next year. And the only reason is that they can do this. They can do all the teaching. They can do this, all of that. I have to camp on what he's put me into now, and that is to receive an outpouring where the entire city's affected, and it's a full time. I've got to go to the next place, and when we come back, that's where we will be. Right now, these guys do as good as can be done. Amen. I'm so happy about it. I can't see straight. So I'm free. They've made me free. That I can contend. That's where I'm supposed to be. This is where they're supposed to be. Hallelujah. But someday I'll get to drop in. I already love you real bad. I mean good. He said, be not drunk on wine wherein is excess. But be you filled with the Spirit. Well, I like that comparison. This one preacher, I know, remember him? He comes out, and now the evangelist, and he comes out, and there's a chord. He goes, oh, the Holy Ghost is here. Said, does you counterfeiter have the cover for himself? Because, and that's what I thought. Be not drunk on wine wherein is excess, but be you filled with the Spirit. And in that verse, I thought that's what it meant when you reach that status quo in the Spirit where your senses are having a little trouble staying up in the line. You're kind of going. So I thought that's what drunk in the Spirit was, because you look like you're drunk, you know. But this is what he was saying. Be not drunk on wine wherein is an excess, but be you filled with the Spirit. Well, then he wants us to get full of the Spirit like that guy got full on the wine. But be you filled with the Spirit. How might that be possible? Right, you little flesh creature, I'm coming right to it. Be filled with the Spirit. How? Ministering to who? Oh my gosh. You mean in this worship you are literally ministering to yourself? What in the world kind of a change would you be affecting? Oh goodness, what if you spent 8 hours solid ministering to yourself in worship by ministering His presence in you and holding it steady for 8 or 9 hours? Oh my gosh. Ministering to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks for all things to God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to talk about this for a minute. Whew. Ministering to myself. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in my heart. Somewhere in my worship closet. And if I could teach anything else, I would. I can't. Not at the moment. Because this is the path that's moving forward right now. So if I could, I would. Like I said, I can't. John Nanny. And all of whiskey said to me, John of Ecclesiastes. When I locked myself in the prayer closet, it was because of what God told me. He slew me in the power. Nobody touched me that day. And although there was a line, I was down further from it and I fell. And He said, "You don't know nothing about worship." And I said, "I read books." Did you? Yeah. That you know nothing. And He was right. So I committed myself to a certain amount of private worship a day. Just only I went in. I wanted to find out what it was. So I went in to my radio room where the soundproof walls and shut the doors and turned the lights out. And I wouldn't play any worship music. And I had, the only thing I had in there with me was my mouth. That's it. And so I started telling Him. And lots of things happened along the way. But one thing that began to happen is this. Somewhere along the way, my worship became balanced. And instead of just singing about God, songs of praise about Him. He's Almighty One. Yes. Which I do. But I started singing, worshiping directly to Him. Not about Him. To Him. It's locked in there. I do both. But in my private worship, I locked in there. So this is what I tried to explain to Him. So I'm not in here to get nothing. And the devil says, "Yeah, right. You know you're going to. Yeah, right." And I said, "Shut up, devil. I'm not in here," and I was trying not to be. However, I knew that I couldn't go in and do it without changing. So what do you want, devil? You know? I said, "I just want to tell you that how much I love you. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for loving me. I know you love me. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for loving me enough that when you lost me, you lost me in Adam. You came after. sent your son. He loved me so much in the agony of a place he had never been. Separated by death in the agony, he cried, if it possible, let this pass. But no, he wouldn't. He loved you so much. He went through. And I know that. But he says, you're ministering to yourself. You can't stay in there and worship him and thank him. And I love you, my Father. You can't do that without ministering to yourself. Your spirit has an unlimited capacity to pool, to reservoir the love of God. And worship connects a conduit to the unlimited supply, which is God, and it never ends. And when you start worshiping, it opens up, and the love flows from Him into your unlimited reservoir. And you better watch out. You don't stop, because the devil's going to get really scared. If you don't stop, you loosen your fear and everything else.
Yes, you do.
So what did he say? Be not drunk on wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Well, I'm not supposed to be drunk on the wine. But he gave me the alternative, that be filled with the Spirit. So he wants me to be so filled that I compare to the guy that's drunk on the wine. So how do I do that? Well, I finally got it. Wally Cox, he goes in a bar, sits down. Arnold Schwarzenegger's at the other end. After 3 or 4 shots of tequila, or how about 1/2 gallon of wine, he thinks he can whip him. Wally Cox thinks he can whip Arnold Schwarzenegger. See, his senses have betrayed him. They're not evaluating things in the light they exist in, and he's about to be horribly shocked. Yeah, let's bring that over into the Spirit then. What is he ministering to yourself? What's he talking about? I'll tell you what. Eventually, the baptism of your senses will be so submerged in that love of God that you'll look at the mountain that used to stop you. But now you're drunk on the Spirit, and you have no trouble believing that that mountain is going to move when you tell it to. You're just drunk enough. You have the audacity to believe that it's going to move, and you're going to whip Arnold Schwarzenegger. But the difference is, you will. Because you're going to be evaluating things, not in the natural anymore, but the way He evaluates them. And if you say go, then they have to go, because now you're speaking out of His presence. How are you going to mess yourself up coming down here and worshiping God 45 minutes early? You're not going to be a normal church. But you know, for a proof offering of $99.95, we'll just put you'll go into that quicker for some just a proof offering a $99.95. You'll get $100,000 back plus that position. Oh, I hope you don't think I'm serious out there. Come on, we're talking about something that's sacred here. Wouldn't you know it? The walk into His glory and His worship and His love is just as sovereign and just as available as the cross. I mean, the path to the cross is as sovereign and final and finished as the cross itself. Why would He provide such miracles at the cross and have no path that'll get you there? The path to the miracle is as sovereignly provided as the miracle itself. And you get on the path and put one foot in front of the other, and you're going to go there just because you can. There's a path into that glory. See? Now I'm just stepping over into this place now. Already I got some things to say to you this week. You're not going to leave the same. This don't have everything in it about the worship. That key came along, a major part of it after. But what we'll do is just write a whole book about that. So this one, the walk of the Spirit, the walk of power, how to walk out of every damnable thing Jesus said you were free from, into everything He said you could be, plus calling on purpose just because you want to make that part of the journey every single day. Nothing has the power to stop you. When He described that language, He said, this man, he speaks not unto men, but unto God. Then He explains Himself, how be it? In the Spirit. Because the moment you start praying in tongues, you put yourself in. In the Spirit, this man speaketh mysteries. And the mysteries you're speaking is the mystery of everything Christ is in you, to you, and through you. The hope of glory. He said prophesying is given for edification, exhortation, comfort. And that's the next verse. If I said, thus saith the Lord, thou'll hold thy hands up for 20 minutes and worship me, I shall give each of you $1,000 by midnight. Your hands, you go, see, sweetie pie said, oh, put your arms around me, give me a mooch. She'd, shut up. It's 20 minutes is up at midnight. Man, all kinds of things. Would you get yours? A kid rode by on a tricycle. Handed me $1,000. Just gonna, can you? Yeah, the church was edified and comforted because the mind of Christ was manifested publicly, and they knew exactly what He would do. Edify, comfort. But then the very next verse says, "But he that prays in an unknown tongue edifies who?" If the church was edified because His mind was manifested, then I must be edified. Because when I pray in tongues, His mind is manifested in me as an individual and no harder to follow than the Word to the church. Only you're the captain of your ship. Why would you pass through this time and go on your way without it when He did so much to present it to you?
You mean He cares?
Oh no, He don't care that much. He cares a whole lot more than that. He died for you. Your vessel can receive the Holy Spirit now because of that. He's come to guide, not push you into all truth. The most costly thing heaven ever sustained is your free right to choice. And it'll be protected for eternity. It's your decision. You're going to move mountains. You're going to walk down that path. It's your choice. The path to the miracle is this, sovereign and finished as the miracle itself. Holy Spirit is offered to guide you. Get on the path. I'm going to exhort you a little, not much, just a few verses to, and release you to this communion. It's ready, right? And I'd like it if the families and friends had come up and and serve each other. If you want to follow along, it's 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians for the next few minutes. He begins the part that we're interested in. Maybe I was going to go about five places on communion in the Bible, but when I was there worshiping, now's a good time. Now the 17th verse, he starts on this subject per se. Now this is that I declare. No, 17. Now this is that I declare. I praise you not that you come together for the better, but it's for the worse. He says, look, first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear there's divisions among you. And he said, I partly believe it. Well, Paul, this is 2,000 years later. Believe it. Believe it. And this started kind of like in the second, third chapter when he talked about, I'd like to give you meat, I can't, you're on milk. And so one says, I'm Apollos and Paul, and there's divisions among you. And this is why he was so detailed in the 12th chapter, talking about the less comely parts, the body of Christ, its operation. We're a family. What he says in 19, for there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved might be made manifest among you. Which, when there's a heresy, there's always a leader to it. And the divisions begin. And there's malice usually, and unforgiveness, and everything you can imagine stirred up. So he goes on to say, he gives an overall overview. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. It's not the one He gave us. You're partaking of it. He's saying, for in eating, everyone takes before the other his own supper, and one is hungry and another drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it. He said, look, take and eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do you as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of Me. For as oft as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever eat this bread, drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. For let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink that cup. Meaning, the one that Paul said, the one I've received of Him, he laid it out. He says, this is the one. This is the one you need to line up with. This is the one you need to partake. And he said in 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, or they die before their time. For if we would judge ourselves, would not be judged. When we are judged, we're chastened or corrected in a God, but should not be condemned with the world, or that is to die of everything the world dies of. So we talked about four or five other places, but He's here for this. But what He was talking about here is the strife and the divisions that had risen. How should I word this?
when he said, "For this cause many are sick among you, if you're not rightly discerning the Lord's body." If you want to know one of the number one reasons people don't get healed, is holding strife and aught, unforgiveness against each other. It's not the only reason, but it's one of the main ones. This is why he said, look, if we judge ourselves, then we wouldn't be judged. And then we wouldn't be condemned with the world. We don't have to die of the diseases the world dies of. So in one manner of speaking, Jesus' body, it was the type of the spiritual body. The chastisement of our lack of peace was laid on Him. His body was broken for us. That's what He says. This is my body that was broken for you. What does strife and unforgiveness, those things, what does that do to the body? Does it not break it and separate it? He said, this is your blood that was shed for me. This united me with you. I remember. This is your body that was broken for me. Judge myself. My mouth isn't going to hurt anybody again. It's not going to. When he spoke that to me about the person that I heard it coming out of my mouth, and it shocked me. They were really hurt and angry and unforgiving. Because this person took a lot of money from them. And while they were talking and venting, it just busted out at me. I learned it that day on that level. I said, did you know that your mouth is the most powerful weapon God has for that man at this moment? The devil's counting on you to destroy him with that mouth. Don't do it. Usually there's just somebody operating out of the sin nature. Ultimately, his promise to you is to heap it down, press it together, run it, shake it together. And when God causes men to start giving to your bosom, there's going to be an unending supply. Is he causing? Real hard to ask for God's blessings when you're destroying somebody. It was hard for me to walk in too when I was doing it through discipline, but I'd rather do it through discipline than not at all. It's not hard now. It's really not. I can't imagine going down that old path again. It's not. And he let me know the difference was. If you let him, you become that. You're not stepping out of your character to forgive him and gritting your teeth. You have forgiveness. He's absolute sovereignty, righteousness, judgment, immutability, eternal life, omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. That's the 9 attributes that make the one essence of God. They can't vary. When you hold that up tonight and serve each other, you tell them, we remember. And I'm forgiven everything and everybody. And I don't care. So, if you want to
you want to receive this communion, this will be the one that Jesus gave. Well, it's almost 9:30. You know the dragon is slain when the clock isn't dragging. Speeding. Sounded good when I thought it. We got a lion clock at the prayer center. Clock on the wall that lies about the time. We're going to get a new one in the old time. You can wear long hair. You can sit anywhere, but don't sit in Miss Daisy's chair. She's been there for 30 years. She's a prayer warrior. Long time. Saved my life one time in India. They put a bomb in the service and it didn't go off. She received bomb on her face in Tulsa and neutralized it. Here I am. Came back and said, they come to me, said, it was a bomb and it didn't go off. And I get home and find out Daisy knew. Neutralized it in intercession. Because of that woman, you know, I still look good. Are you ready? Receive this with families and just serve, you know, give them the bread and say, let's eat, and then hand them the other and just drink and say, Lord, we remember you died for us. Forgive. Then you can go home, and according to Jim, you're going to hear the world's greatest teacher in the morning. World? Yeah, it wouldn't be in, out of the body, would it? The world's... Never mind, that sounded good when I started on it. So, they can... At the prayer center, we, as long as they'll keep it orderly, which we don't let it get into the other thing, that we let them come up on their own families, and then they go through and they get their bread and their grape juice. And then they go off usually somewhere and pray and minister to each other with it. Now, if you don't, it's not with anybody, just take it your own or find a friend. Amen.